Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. The Raptors in action tonight. The Maple Leafs in action tonight. Pierre LeBrun will join us here in just a moment. We haven't got into this Frank Saravelli article up on TSN.ca, and Frank is reporting on the NHL and their response to what's going on both sides of the border, where, you know, in the U.S., they're moving along with vaccinations, and we heard what Joe Biden said the other day, that they believe they're going to have enough supply for every adult to be able to get a vaccine by the end of May. Doesn't mean that everyone will, based on that timeline, but they're going to have enough inventory to, I guess, ostensibly do that. And Canada is getting more and more shipments, and it's always been September. That's what Trudeau and company have been saying for the longest time. By September, every adult will have access to a vaccine. But Frank reporting that the NHL is a little bit concerned that because we're being so slow here in terms of ramping it up, that that won't be the case by the beginning of next year, and what kind of a ripple effect that might have on the league if up here in Canada we still can't have fans in the stands, maybe you can't travel across the border, so do you have to have another isolated division for the first half of the season, whatever it might be. And Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, even on record in the article saying, you know, we're watching and it's too early to really tell anything or say anything right now or make a prediction, but we know where the states are going. You know, by next year, the beginning of next hockey season in October, every building will be full. Absolutely. Every building will be full. Up here, it's a different story.
Yep, I agree. Like, it'll be absolutely full. I think life is going to be back normal, and I think that's why you're seeing some frustration haze out of people where, you know, you're looking south of the border and Biden's made a commitment and sounds like, you know, they're targeting by the end of May that everyone will be fully vaccinated, where, you know, as you pointed out, it's September and I'm just reading kind of on the fly, but there's some doses, the first dose that they're saying, and they've delayed the second dose for up to 4 months that you can get it.
Yeah, so that's starting to move across the country, like BC, Quebec. I think that's coming here to Ontario.
Right. So it's frustrating because we all the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's happening, going to happen quicker south of the border than it's going to happen up here. And then
can we borrow some? Like fire
well,
us
that's
some.
The hope. You know, that's the hope that once the Americans, if they've used up everything they need to use up, then all of a sudden maybe we can get access to the Pfizer plant down in Michigan, maybe Johnson & Johnson.
Like Michigan, I don't know.
The Americans. You know, they're our friends until they're not, where they're not willing to give it up. And that's their prerogative. It's their country. It's their sovereignty. It's their company. But they're not willing to share right now.
But that's what they should do. They should take care of their own.
Of course.
That's what they're doing.
And that's what our group.
But that's why what I'm saying is we can't act surprised. Like we're not manufacturing vaccines in our country. So we're at the mercy of other countries to do that in businesses around the world.
Right.
And, you know, it all comes down to which side of the aisle you're on, whether you're optimistic, pessimistic, if you believe in the liberals, believe in the conservatives, whatever it is.
Right.
Here's a fact. We need both parties to make this work for ourselves as a country. Like this,
exactly.
COVID and vaccines are bipartisan, man. We need the federal liberal government to get them. We need the provincial conservative government to have the infrastructure in place. This had nothing to do with partisanship, nothing to do with politics, and that's what we need to hope for. And every day we're getting a little bit better. You know, yesterday I think we had 27,000 vaccines in this province. Like, that's a benchmark. We got to keep moving. We got to get bigger and bigger and bigger and manufacture, and you know, that's hopefully the direction we're going in. I'm sure we are. But as for where the NHL stands on this, listen, I would hope they would remember Canada also saved them during the bubble, because the states was a COVID cesspool and they couldn't go down there. So Toronto and Edmonton put up their hands and said, we'll host you. You know, let's not forget that. And I'm not saying the NHL is going public, you know, basically looking down on Canada, but Canada was there in the early days when it was really bad in the States, and hooked up Edmonton and Toronto as a bubble. And, you know, I understand it's a business and it's going to have an effect on things, but what are you going to do? You know, like, there's nothing Canada's going to do. There's nothing the federal government's going to do, provincial government, municipal governments are going to do, because the NHL might be affected.
No, but
it's the last thing they worry about.
You're right, but here's what I'll say, Brian. Like, if we're dealing in next October, like, I would hope that vaccines are very accessible, that you do get NHL players done. And the fans that do want to go have gotten their first dose and working on their second dose. Like, it's going to look different. I want to see fans in the building as quick as possible, but as safe as possible. And it might be a stepladder. It might be 2,500 fans out of a building that seats 20,000 to start off. But at least I want something, but safely.
I'd be shocked if we're not there. Like, I'd be so disappointed in every, and I would be I would be very, very surprised if come next October we're in a position where.
Don't hold your breath.
Well, listen.
telling you, don't hold your breath.
The elephant in the room is our approach has been very cautious, very conservative. You know, Canadians are more willing to accept restrictions, and I think that comes from a good place, you know, like general health of our society and well-being of our society. Down in the States, you know, there's people that are like, we're not doing it. And up here, we don't have that same voice. And as a result, you know, that probably leads to us being a little bit further behind as well in terms of restrictions in place. Here's our TSN Hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, we're just talking about Saravelli's article up on TSN.ca and how the NHL is, you know, watching from afar in terms of future revenues and cap hits and all that kind of stuff when it comes to vaccines. But not much we can do right now, you know. I mean, you just got to wait to see how it all plays out.
It is what it is. I haven't caught Frank's article yet, but it's on my list as I sit down this evening here to read for the Leafs game. There's so much over the next few months that's going to be interesting in terms of the vaccines and the rates and when we start to open up more, because it's still hard to predict even now. But I was thinking today, I was on my podcast with Scott Burnside, and we had a question from a listener about, you know, and I actually mentioned you guys. I think you guys talked about this week, about whether it's fair if you get to the league semifinals, you have some rinks with fans in the U.S. and some rinks from the Canadian team still empty, and is that fair and everything? But here's the other thing. We may also get to the league semifinals. Let's say it's, you know, the Leafs or the Jets that come out of the Canadian division. The Canadian team may not come back for the rest of the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they may... If the border isn't open, there is also a chance that the Canadian team leaves and we don't see them again until the playoffs are over. So keep that in mind, as Ferris. I mean, this is just a unique year, and we're going to have to accept whatever happens, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, there's not much we can do.
And, no.
You know, even Bill Daly said it, that at this point it's too early to predict where we're going to be. And we're talking, you know, way down the road. But there's a lot that's going to happen between then, you know, in terms of the league and their planning for the draft, welcoming Seattle into the league, right? Like, Seattle's playing as of next September, which means the expansion draft is going to happen. You know, there's a lot that they got to figure out. To your point, what are they going to do come the Final Four? Do they take the Canadian team out? Does the federal government effectively answer that for them? Like, there's a chance the Canadian government just says, we're not doing the cross-border thing. So the Canadian team has to leave.
There's no way. Never mind the 14-day quarantine for coming across the border. There's not even a 7-day quarantine would be the answer in a best of seven. Like, you can't stop the series for that long.
No way.
So it's either the border is open or the NHL gets an exemption or the Canadian team leaves, which is, you know, that's it's pretty out of this world, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, it seems like it could be a reality.
And I mean, there is certain rules, though, for chartering. Like, if you charter, and now charter companies are offering PCR tests, so there might be some wiggle room. Like, it's not just a flat out like 14 days. Like, there, if you charter your own plane and you're not flying, you know, WestJet or Air Canada, just commercial. These teams are so they're. There might be a way around it if those rules are still in. But the point being is they may just say, to hell with it. You're staying down south and we're playing.
It's not worth
all.
It's not worth the
exactly.
surface of it all.
Yeah.
Like, even if they cut it down to 3 days and multi-testing, even 3 days in the middle of a playoff series hits a lot. I mean, I guess you could live with 3 days. And, again, I'm just – because I know the league has to think of everything here, but what if you – You know, does that mean you go 2-3-2, which the league has hated and has not done in many decades? But do you do a 2-3-2 just for the league semifinals involving a Canadian team? So that if you can cut down the quarantine, that you're only crossing the border twice.
Yeah. Right. Pierre, how is the quarantine and the border, how is that going to affect trades coming up for the deadline? Teams mm-hmm. that are making a push to get in, but they can't wait around for it. Like, just how is the trade market going to be affected by all this coming up here soon?
Yeah, super important question, O-Dog. I actually wrote about this Monday in The Athletic, and I said, you know, is the deadline going to be a dud? And I think James Duffy fell off his seat there and wanted to strangle me. But I'm not wishing it. Believe me, it's good for business for us when the deadline is fun. And the deadline period, not just the day of, but the lead-up. They're going to be trades, but I tell you, I talked to a couple of executives for that piece, and when you combine all the factors, so one is the border and the quarantine and the Canadian teams, that's one thing. Two, you got 18 teams right now in LTIR, which is an NHL record in the cap era. 18 teams that are over the salary cap. So every deal that you're looking at right now is apple in, apple out. Everyone. It's really difficult. There's only a handful of teams at the bottom there, like Ottawa and LA, that have cap room, and maybe that'll come in handy for them, you know, if Ottawa's selling. But that's a lot of teams that basically are saying, if we make a move, the exact same amount of money has to go out the other way. Normally, that's not what we see at the deadline. Normally, the deadline, the contenders, the teams with a chance to win the cup, like a Toronto, like a Boston, they're usually adding a bit more in their end because they've got a bit of cap room. And the other team is selling. But what I'm saying is, with 18 teams in LTIR, it's a lot of dollar in, dollar out. So that factor. Number three, and this is something another team executive said to me, even some of the teams that are sitting in a playoff spot, and clearly this doesn't apply to the Leafs, but there are teams sitting in a playoff spot who don't have the green light from ownership to add a dime. We're not making money. Sorry. This is your team.
Wow.
So when you add all these three factors we just talked about, I think it's going to be a quieter than normal deadline period. There's still going to be moves. I don't want people tweeting at me saying, you said there would be no trades. There will be trades. Okay, Boston needs a D. Philly needs a right-handed D. The Leafs, I think, want a top nine forward. Everyone's going to try and get something done. But when you add it all up over the last 3 weeks, I always say 3 weeks is the deadline period, I think we will have fewer in numbers and lesser in quality than a normal year, in my mind.
That makes sense, just based on, you know, how you've laid it out. You said about noise. There was some noise made last night in Montreal. You did the game. Not even the 2-1 win. It's more about Stephane Waite being relieved. You know, any scuttlebutt out of there? Did anybody see that coming?
No.
And obviously, everyone spoke today about it.
Yeah, Doodle, that blindsided everyone I spoke to. And by the way, thanks for texting me back during the game. I needed your help on analyzing Carey Price's performance. It's good to have Jay McLean on your side when you're working at TSN on a broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Once in a while.
He knows. You would know.
Yes, that was shocking. And Carey Price himself, I'm told, wasn't told until after the game. Like, there was no lead-up in terms of him getting this might be happening. He found out after the game. But, you know, when you listen to Mark Bergevin talk to the local Montreal media today, this isn't just about the last few weeks either. I think he talked about a pattern the last few years of Carey Price coming in and out of his good periods and his bad periods, and I think he's thought about this for a while. And remember, he hired Stephane Waite, the goalie coach. He brought him in 2013.
From Chicago.
So this was Bergevin's guy, yeah. And obviously there were some great years there between Stephane Waite and Carey Price, so not an easy decision. Completely did not see that coming. And even Sean Burke coming back into the fray. As you guys know, Sean Burke has kind of wanted to distance himself from the goalie coaching side of things and focus on managing the last few years. But, you know, I suspect when Mark Bergevin sort of laid it out for him, he felt, you know, because he's been pro scouting for the Habs the last few years, he felt that he could help out. Really interesting. And, you know, by the way, not a big, you know, it's not the headline, but also the first goalie coach who's not French in quite a while. I mean, the Habs have had Francois Allaire, Rolly Melanson, Pierre Brou, and Stephane Waite, and so interesting from that perspective as well.
With Pierre Lavon, our TSN hockey insider, we were having a chat earlier about Joe Thornton and how well he has fit in here. And it surprised me. I was a little bit of a skeptic as to what his role would be, how he would look. He's looked very good. And we discussed the likelihood of him returning next year. I'll pose that to you, and I'll add, you know, the Chara angle to it as well. He's back in Boston tonight, and Chara's looked good. He's playing big minutes. Like, they're both the oldest guys in the league, but they're playing pretty well on good teams. What is the likelihood of Thornton returning next year, and if so, to Toronto, and Chara returning, and if so, to Washington?
Yeah. You know, I don't have, because I'm on my phone, I can't Google this, and maybe someone on the show can, but I asked Joe Thornton last spring in the middle of the pause about whether he was definitely going to come back. Remember, the Sharks weren't part of the bubble. And I quoted him on Twitter saying not only did he want to come back, but he wanted to come back for five more years. I think that's what I quoted him saying.
Right.
And everyone laughed in the hockey Twitterverse. I got to tell you, I never know with Joe if he's putting me on or not. Like, there might have been a half-truth in there. I mean, he doesn't talk about quitting. I mean, he loves the game so much and just pictures himself playing forever. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen, but I guess my point is we all assume that he was just coming back for this one year, but he's never said that. He's never said this is my last year.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, with him, and I think the same applies to Chara. Chara really put a lot of thought into it before he came back. It's got to be about, you know, how does this work with my family? Do I have a chance to win? And how does my body feel? And both those guys at that age, that's what they're going through. It really is a month-to-month decision in some ways. You know, how is Thornton going to feel at the end of this playoff run with the Leafs? You know, can he put himself through this again? And if he feels he can, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, if the Leafs win the Cup, out of all that bedlam, which not only we quite the party in Toronto after all these years, but for Joe Thornton, the one missing thing in the Hall of Fame resume, you know, maybe that gives him pause to actually, he doesn't need to play again. But I'm just telling you, when I asked him last year if he was coming back for another year, he said he was coming back for five. So take that for what it is.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing well, too. That's the thing. Like, I just never wanted to get to a point where it's like Jaromír Jagr in Florida, where he was dragging Huberdeau and Barkov down. You know what I mean? Like, they were ready to take that next step, and they were deferring to him, and he had kind of become a caricature of himself. You know what I mean? Like a bit of a sideshow. Everywhere it was Jagr this, Jagr that, but, you know, ultimately the product wasn't as good on the ice. And I mean, Jagr's still playing. He's literally still playing now.
I know. Like, yeah, no, that's a great point, Noodles. And I don't think that Jumbo would want to, you know, he would have to be comfortable with his level of production and what he's bringing to the table. And here's the thing about, you know, Brian, I totally agree with you the way it seems to me, at least. I'm not in the room, but seems to have fit in with the Leafs. He doesn't even get to do it in a normal year where, you know, he would have those guys at his place all the time on some off nights to do team building stuff. That's who he is. The stories he hates talking about himself, from other teammates, from his time in San Jose, from picking up guys who were traded. He's the one who picks them up at the airport instead of the team services guy. He did that 1,000 times. Getting the guys together for events. They're legendary, and I can just imagine what this year would have been like if the rules allowed for it, right? I mean, it just would have been crazy. And so it's even more impressive that he's fitting in when you consider that he hasn't been afforded the normal layers of chemistry building with his new team.
I even think of the fans, Pierre, looking at him in the glass and warm-up, like they would have been in awestruck of this guy. You know
That's
what I mean?
Show.
Like
the, That's a show.
Yeah.
For kids, for adults. Going to, like, I would love to be at the rink watching him play as a Leaf, and I will never get that opportunity unless he returns next year.
Mm-hmm. Brian, there would be 35-year-old men on the glass in warm-up getting a look at him saying, oh, my God, that's Joe Thornton.
Yeah, in a Thornton jersey they just paid $250 for at Real Sports. And you're right, that would absolutely be a show. Got to go see Jumbo play as a Leaf, you know.
And it's a nice incentive for the team, not that they don't have enough, you know, given what's happened in the playoffs the last few years, but to be able to perhaps go deep and win one for that guy, I mean, the players in San Jose, every time they got close, it always reverted back without me bringing up Joe's name to, wouldn't this be amazing for Joe? Like, they just love that guy so much and go through a wall for him. And, you know, again, there's so much already riding in this market on the Leafs and what's happened in the playoffs and obviously the cup drought dating back forever that you don't really need to add that on top of it. But nevertheless, it doesn't hurt in terms of wanting all these different ingredients to perhaps produce a magic here this year.
Pierre, before we get you out of here, do you know if Montreal even sniffed around the idea of Babcock, or was that not even thought about?
I haven't heard that, no. That doesn't mean that, you know, it didn't happen. I will tell you that I guess maybe people don't want to buy it because they don't know enough about him. I will tell you that Mark Bergevin is really high on Dominique Ducharme. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't bring him in a few years ago just so he can hang out.
No kidding. They
brought him in because they viewed him as the heir apparent to Claude Julien one day. Now, did we think he'd be in the middle of this season? I don't think so. But that's why they brought him in 2018, is they viewed their next head coach in him. And it really is his job to lose. They gave him a bump in pay this week. He was making, third assistant salary. Now they gave him a bit of a bump as a first-year head coach. And you're going to say, well, big deal, because it's only for the rest of the year. I agree, but I think it's also, you always try to read between the lines. They're trying to give this guy every chance possible to succeed, and because they hope that he takes this job and makes it his. And there's only one way that's going to happen, is he has to steer this season back on track. And I will tell you that the last couple of games have been promising. They're playing with a lot more structure. And you could see the tweaks that he's brought. I mean, it really is different, some of their puck pursuit and what they're doing. Ultimately, I think their downfall will be what it really was always going to be, is that they have depth and they can grind you down, but they don't have enough natural scoring ability in my mind. Maybe gets you in the playoffs. Does it get you an upset win? I don't know. But they think this guy is actually their coach, not just the coach for the rest of the year.
Pierre, before we get you out of here, how about Saturday night, the first star in the Bell Center, Brian Hayes.
Yeah. Ranked
first. I'll give Brian Hayes the first star if he guarantees me either Prescott signs long-term in Dallas or the Cowboys get Russell Wilson.
Both. Brian Both. Hayes Saturday night is Saturday night, Montreal. Brian Hayes, first star, please, before you go.
La première étoile, the first star, the visiteur Maple Leafs de Toronto, Brian Hayes.
Get Russell Wilson down a big D. I love it. Send it. And keep Dak. The best combo quarterback situation in football.
Dude, what is this? Dak wants Mahomes money. Can you just cut that?
Yeah, that's like an outrageous ass.
Outrageous.
But his franchise tag is like $37 million or whatever. He's coming off a gruesome injury. He's making $37 million minimum.
One of the most overhyped, overrated things in pro sports is Dak Prescott. I'm sorry.
But, by the way, I don't think the PA announcer at the Bell Center would have been that excited for the first star from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I have to do some make-believe there. I had to do a little
Yeah, you're right. He wouldn't be so jacked. It'd be pretty dour. But we'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk next week.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Speaking of stars, we're going to put our grades in here. We Noodles brought this to our attention earlier, which will be included in my grading because I thought it was great for content.
Yeah.
That coaches grade every single player after
so
every single game.
Stupid.
And our buddy Mike Ross, who's the voice down at Scotiabank, he points out on Twitter, minor league baseball, they have to issue a full report of every player after every game. They play every single day.
No way.
In the minors. Imagine that. Like, you got to send that to Ross Atkins. Ross is like, send me the email. How do you look? Low A ball.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
But that's your job.
That's
your
job.
Your job is developing those players. And believe me, managers, like, they read them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a scout, you put in a scouting report, you sometimes get a call from the manager going, like, what did you see about this player? You said in your report this. Like,
follow up.
Yeah,
my grades for the show have been mailed in, already signed, sealed, and delivered.
You've already sent them in. Okay, there's
he's the guy who wants, you know, like Yeah, you just followed him. Whatever Hayes said.
Whatever.
Is that what you just said? Like, whatever Hayes said, double that.
Yeah, that was included.
We have to get them in for Meg to get things organized. By the way, I don't think she got a very good grade from me either, so we'll see.
Oh, Megan's getting high grades from me. I think she's been spectacular today. Spectacular. So we'll put in our grades. We'll get to that. Our buddy Brian Stemmel still to come. And our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NHL board tonight, St. Louis in Anaheim. I will take the Blues. The Kings are at home against Arizona. They're paying $1.90. I'll take LA. And I feel like I bet Colorado every time they play, but I'm going to ride that wave. San Jose's a mess. I'll take Colorado. Throw down 20. You can score 82. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Proline is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement before you wager. Get the latest odds, info, and matchup stats on your phone. Proline, put your knowledge on the line. All right, grades of the show. We have never done this before. We are going to get to it around 6:45. Okay, we got to allow Megan to build these boards, and we got to make sure that everything's prepared and there's some production behind it.
Don't forget, you got to put Ray's for his segment.
I have Ray. I did O Noodles, Ray, Mullen, Grappler, Megan. I didn't include myself.
I put myself in there, and I also had Al's brother, but I forgot Ray. I got to send
Al's brother hasn't been on the show.
Yeah.
Put him in there. That's why he got a low grade.
Okay, I'll add him.
Here. He's in Niagara Falls. It's a 0 out of 5.
And I put
he's a 0 for me, too, Meg. He's a 0 for me.
Include Al's brother, but he's 0 for me.
You're only supposed to rate, I'll be honest, you're only supposed to rate 1 to 5, and I put Al's brother on there as a 0 just to be a jackass.
Well, he's got two more right here. He's got two more zeros.
But like, just because I heard about his defenseman rating, people have been writing me all week about it, and apparently it didn't go so well. Or he motivated Morgan Riley.
He did. I thought Riley had the best game of the year a couple nights ago.
Well.
I loved his game, and he had Quinn Hughes at 7. He had Morgan at 6, I believe. He had Darnell Nurse at 1.
4.
Yeah, he had Muzzin high on the list.
Okay, Muzzin shouldn't be on the list if like. Realistically,
top 7, I kind of agree with you. I don't think he's one of the 7 best guys going. He's having a good year.
He's having a great year as a second pairing defenseman.
Yes,
he plays against different matchups too. Like that, he plays on the shutdown. I get it, and he's a great player. Don't get me wrong,
Jamie. Don't talk about the
top
guy's
7.
List. He claims he spoke to several people,
including myself.
Oh, he called you too.
Yeah.
That's even better than that. He had Muzzin in there.
I challenged him on it. And then I challenged him on it because I thought Muzzin was going to be farther down. He had him at like 3 or 4.
I think he had him at 3. He had Darnell Nurse at 1. He had Petrie at 2. Petrie's a second pairing guy too, if we're being fair.
Right.
He is.
But
now
Petrie
has more offense though.
Right. Like Petrie is leading the league in goals for defensemen.
Yeah, he's
like,
been
so
unbelievable.
No disrespect to you, Jamie, but he claimed he had 10 sources and he called you.
No, I'm sure he called other people.
Who else is he calling? Who is Al's brother calling?
Al's brother's Rolodex is deeper than, almost as deep as O's, as far as the people he talks to, I think.
Well, I'm trying to sniff out who O's been talking to, because he made a claim earlier today that we'll stay off the air. But I want to find out the truth behind it. I want to know who he's talking to.
All right.
And I want to know. I guess we'll find out this weekend at Bay Hill.
Dude, I'm not going to pump my. I'm not. I'm being dead serious,
Brian.
I'm not going to pump my own tires in this show. I know so many people that you have no idea that I know, and that's just the truth. And it's
Okay.
It is funny.
Listen, man. I know that you know a lot of people.
I understand that. But I'm not going to sit here and pump my own tires and act like I'm super famous people that I know.
But I'm not asking you to. I said I have no interest in it being on the air. You didn't tell me who it was. You didn't tell me who you spoke to. But it would, based on the names being floated out, I got to still make my Bay Hill picks.
Yeah.
Who do you have? You go ahead. You already announced
I have Rory McIlroy. Who else?
Patrick Reed.
And who's
Jordan
my third?
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, and I spoke to one of those gentlemen this morning.
You spoke to one of those three guys.
Yes, and I'm not going to get into it, dude. I told you. People that know famous people, they don't talk about it, so it's no big deal. I'm not getting into it.
All right. It had to be Rory because he's talkative like you. He's a phone guy. I know he is.
All right.
I know somebody catfished you.
Somebody catfished you and said they were Rory.
apparently not. I said that earlier. It was a burner account on Twitter. It doesn't count, but He's convinced it. I think it's McElroy. McElroy's a talkative guy, good guy. You've had interactions with him online. I'm going to say McElroy.
That's true.
I'll say McElroy.
I'll double down on that. I think you have had interactions. Now, does he follow you? Like, is there a follow back on Twitter, or the,
Jamie, I don't want to put him in an awkward position. I don't want this to be like a thing. It's just private conversations.
Yep.
I spend at least 2 hours a day talking to people in different leagues and sports leagues to get information I need for this show, and Hayes has no idea who I talk to.
And listen, there's a chance that Ronaldo wrote him back, and Ronaldo did write you back at some point, which is fine.
The Grappler sent Ronaldo a message saying, can you come on Overdrive? It's like, come on.
I would have preferred if Ronaldo had the emoji with a middle finger.
Me too.
I would have relished that.
Yes.
I've
acknowledged this request,
right,
and here's
right
my response to it.
Yeah.
Middle finger emoji, block. Yeah. Don't ever try to contact me again.
Block.
Yeah.
He has a personal assistant that he tells to block them.
That would be a great job. Imagine you paid someone $50,000 a year to go through your DMs. That's how popular you are. That's how big of a shooter you are. You have someone
cool
that simply filters through your direct messages. But $50,000 cash. Go ahead and take care of that for me. Thank you.
When Mike Tyson was at his biggest, USA Today, I used to love reading it in the States. You get it at the hotel all the time. Laid out how this guy spent $300 million. Like, it was quite sad because Don King stole a bunch from him and he didn't pay his taxes here and had a bunch of houses. There was a guy in his entourage that made $60,000 a year. All he did was he was the beverage guy.
Order
wherever
drinks
they went.
Yep.
Pour drinks.
Mike needs some iced tea. $60,000. Mike would like a beer. Mike needs some water. $60,000 cash.
Yeah.
To be the drink guy.
The beverage guy.
All right, my picks quickly here. Victor Hovland, have to be on it. Matthew Fitzpatrick, he's been sniffing around the leaderboard. And I'm going to go with the winner from a year ago. I'll go with Tyrrell Hatton. So Hatton, Fitzpatrick, Hovland. Bonus pick for 50, Sung J.M.
Ooh.
Bonus pick for 50.
Okay, I'll think about mine.
But it's got to be someone way down the board. Someone way down the board.
Okay.
Right? So a bonus pick for 50 if my boy Sung J.M. puts on a clinic this weekend at Bay Hill. Brian Stemmel's a guy we're very fond of. He's a friend of the show. We've had him on before. I saw him last year up at Blue Mountain up in Collingwood. And obviously COVID has affected a lot of things right now in society, including, you know, charity work and a really cool event up at Blue Mountain that I was lucky to be a part of last year, the 24-hour Blue Mountain. And Brian Stemmel's been a big part of that in conjunction with Special Olympics here in Ontario. And he joins us now. How you doing, Brian?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. And obviously the message is we're going to keep this party rolling, right? We're going to miss out in 2021, but the plan is to be up at Blue Mountain this time next year, give or take, and continue to do the good work.
Yes, we'll be all vaccinated up and shaking hands, and probably the last hand I shook was maybe yours in February last year. And
that's right.
It was funny, I was at a Leaf game just before that, and I got introduced to Rod Sealing, you know, a great Leaf, number 16, played for the Rangers. I loved him as a kid growing up, and I put out my hand to shake it, and to shake his hand to get introduced to him, and he gave me the fist bump. And I'm like, oh, that was just so awkward, you know.
Yep.
I was meeting, you know, a guy I looked up to, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he was onto something back then.
No, that's...
I don't think you're getting a handshake down the road either, Bri.
No, from anybody.
No.
Not just a fist bump or elbows. Everyone's handing out elbows these days.
Right.
I just make it clear that nothing's going down. No elbow, no nothing. Just, hi, how are you? And if you're looking for an elbow bump, it's just not happening. No thanks.
The elbow's awkward. I never
it's stupid.
Yeah, it's tough. It's not a good look. It's really not
a good look
at all. But yeah, it was a great event last year. And obviously it's for a great cause, a hospital up there in Collingwood and Special Olympics Ontario. You can check out the website, 24hbluemtn.ca, 24hourbluemountain.ca. And Brian, you've been doing this for years, and it was such a cool event, the amount of people that showed up last year. And you got to believe that people are going to really want to get back out once we're allowed out of our homes and allowed to interact again and be charitable again with our time and with our money. I think this event a year from now will be a grand slam again.
Yeah, it always has been great. Raised over $150,000 last year, and you and Rod Black were kind enough to come and donate your time. And it's always great for the Special Olympics athletes, and they're just great people, and we can learn a lot from them. And Glenn McDonnell at Special Olympics does a great job with the event, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. And I think it's right in Noodle's wheelhouse, you know, that app race scene. He just loved that scene, and I think we should get Noodles up there to enjoy a little app race, as we call it.
I'm there.
I miss that scene, Brian, I'll tell you. People at Osler, they take that scene pretty seriously, man.
Yeah, I haven't skied a lick this year, nothing. I haven't been up there, so I missed that a lot. And today was such a beautiful day. I was dreaming of just having a few runs in the afternoon and sitting on a patio after and knocking a couple beverages back. But next year we'll be back at it, and look forward to it for sure.
No, I'm dreaming of that. Like, that is, that sounds like heaven. You know what? It just sounds like a perfect scenario. Like, down the slopes and then a couple beers.
Sun
and
out.
Sociable. Yeah, sociable beers. Like, just beautiful yucking weather. It up and,
It's happening, man. We're getting there. We're moving in the right direction. Yeah. We're chipping away.
And there's people, you know, up there that have a couple beers and then go back up and have a few more runs of night skiing at Blue Mountain with their jeans on and the wineskin jacket. And
I love it.
Have at it.
I love it. That was my first experience at Blue Mountain. I had no idea what I was doing. I had a winter jacket that was not zipped up with, like, a pair of jeans on, cruising around. It was a joke. No hat, no toque, no gloves. Amateur hour. But I got through it, and I love it, and I can't wait to get back up there next year. And we'll see you when we do. I'm sure we'll be in contact well before then, Brian. But good luck with all this, and we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for this.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
There's Brian Stemmel, one of the famous Canadian Olympians, one of our great Olympians, and one of the great skiers in Canadian history. And good guy, all around good guy. And he's right. I mean, awesome. I would have been shaking hands with him, sharing beers just over a year ago.
Crazy. It is. February 25th, I wasn't on the show, guys, but that was a year ago. I was in Nashville. That's the last time that I've gone out drinking. And, like, I
just
sat.
Just felt normal and everything.
Normal life.
Good.
I sat at normal Legends life. With a bucket of beer listening to live music. Like, it was heaven. I look back. It was February 25th, a year ago. Crazy.
I'm with you, man. I was thinking about being in Florida because all these flashbacks start coming up on Instagram and you know different social media apps. Like, this is what happened a year ago.
You almost didn't get home from Florida.
Yeah, you were close.
We flew down there on March 7th. We're coming up on the anniversary of me flying down there, and I came back on the 15th. And that was by then Trudeau had done the whole speech, like, it's time to get back. You got to start moving here. But being down there, you still didn't really know what was going on. You know, you didn't early on in it all with the shutdown and everything. It didn't feel real. Mm-hmm. And I miss it. I think we all do.
I know.
But we'll get there. We're moving. We're moving in the right direction. Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. We'll tee both of those up. And the first inaugural grading system. The grades are coming out for myself, Noodles, O, Ray, Megan, Grappler, Mullen, Al's brother, evidently. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, the Leafs back in action tonight. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 8 o'clock. The Raptors back in action tonight. You can see it on TSN tonight. And we told you about this report earlier that 7 players in the NBA testing positive for COVID, many of them in Toronto, and Shams Charania reporting that it was the coaches and mask-wearing inconsistencies that they believe led to his breakout. And Blake Murphy of the Athletic points out, you know, why all of a sudden are we singling out one team and explaining how the breakout started? All these teams have dealt with it. I've never seen another team be, you know, it reported, oh, it was this coach or it was the trainer that did it or it was the players. Why all of a sudden are the Raptors and their outbreak, you know, all the details are pouring out. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, it went from don't even say anybody's name that has COVID to now we're going to report mask-wearing policies and how they didn't follow them.
Yeah,
right.
That doesn't seem
like
right.
When did that all of a sudden start happening? That's a good point. Anyway, we brought up the idea of – well, not the idea, the fact that in the NHL, every coach grades every game. You know, the coaching staff will stick around after a game for hours sometimes, grade every single individual player. Noodles, you had to do it. You're committed to it. O and I were too lazy for that, or we just don't see the reasoning behind it. We'd never – why do it? Just go home, watch the tape from home, and we'll see where it goes. But we came up with the idea of grading pretty much everyone that is involved in this show.
Just once a week we're going to do it.
I think so. Once a week. Maybe we do it on Fridays and we grade the week as opposed to an individual show. That could be an option, but we're talking O-Dog, Noodles, Hayes,
yep.
Megan, Mullen, the Grappler. I guess Al's brother is included. And, you're going to kickstart the party here. How do you grade the show based on those individuals involved?
Meg, if you could post my numbers, please, and I will break them down as they all come up. That would be the way I would like to go about it. I've got Noodles at a 4 out of 5, always rock solid. Mm-hmm. That's what he brings.
He just brings
an effectiveness and a solidness to the show. Hayes, I gave you a 1 out of 5 today. I'm just saying, if we're going to be honest, it's a 1 out of 5 for me. Meg, keep it going. It just wasn't your best day, Hazy.
All right.
I've got Mulls at a 2 out of 5. There was some discrepancies in different audio that I asked for. Maybe
he's
some
such
song.
An idiot here.
Good man.
Grappler, 5 out of 5. Stud, as Aaron Karolnik calls him, he is a rock star. Please go to the last couple, Meg. I gave you a 2 out of 5. This is shared under protest from Meg.
But, allegedly, watch yourself.
Yeah, she sent me an email and said that she wasn't. I give Ray a 2 out of 5, too. He kind of sat in the weeds a little bit too much mm-hmm. for my liking. And the Grappler, Al's brother, it's a 0 out of 5. He's not there.
That's right.
So he goes below the lowest you can get, which is a 1 out of 5.
Yeah, you don't show up. You don't make the drive. You're 0 out of 5. You have to be. Okay, that's tough testing, man. That's tough rankings, I'll say that. 1 out of 5. I thought I'd been okay, but 1 out of 5. All right, I got to pull out of it. Go ahead, Noodles. What do you have?
This is why the coaching ranking system means so much, is because it's differing point of view, right? So I'm going to start.
Noodle. Go
Max,
ahead.
Roll it out. I'm going to start with Brian Hayes, mm-hmm. I believe. I gave him a 4 out of 5.
Thank you,
I thought
Noodles.
He was solid.
I thought I played pretty well. I liked my game.
You challenged a few narratives and initiatives. I thought you did a really good job. So, O-Dog, I gave you a 3 out of 5.
there was
a couple times where, you know, you went baby monkey on the Pierre LeBrun. Hayes, I would point the finger at myself, too. You left it open for both me and O to jump
couple
in
times.
On Pierre. And I jumped in,
feathers.
But late, feathers.
It's all good.
I have no idea what the hell that was. What are you even talking about?
It was noted.
Grappler, I gave a 1 out of 5. I thought it was,
it was a mail-in.
I thought it was a mail-in, you know, and even his notes before was just to cut and paste and the Leafs are playing tonight and stuff. And
that's right.
He's usually more engaged.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mulls, I gave a 4 out of 5. He's always always on point, just dialed in. Megan, 5 out of 5.
Yep.
And why wouldn't I?
That's
because
right.
She does a great job. Fonsis makes us look great. I gave myself a 4 out of 5. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to grade myself.
He gives himself a 4.
I like it.
I thought I had
it.
Just for the idea. And I
the
took
idea
away
was
a point.
Great.
I took away a point for my baby monkey during the Pierre LeBrun segment.
Okay.
And then the last was Al's brother, who I gave a 0 to.
0 out of 5.
Yeah.
What about Ray? Did you give Ray a grade?
I'm sorry. I gave Ray a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Although he dropped, I should have dropped it down to 4.
Oh,
that's
man,
the problem.
That's coming up for me.
That's coming up for me.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. That's a more sensible grading system if you're asking me.
Realistic.
I'll kickstart this off. I have the O-Dog as a 4 out of 5. I think you've had a very good show.
Yeah.
You've been very engaged. The reason I took a point off was because that garbage out of the gate today with the suit and you thinking that we're trying to dupe you. I take issue with
that.
I had to take points. So you didn't have a good start. Terrible shift. But beyond that, you've been pretty good. Noodles, 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5.
Solid.
Again, I think you've been very solid. This idea was outstanding. Good back and forth on Pierre Engvall from both of the boys. I noticed that.
Yeah.
I took notes. Very quality stuff. I think Noodles has been solid as always. Ray, I gave a 3 out of 5. And in large part because his phone dropped, which is his fault. You know, I probably should have given him a 1 out of 5. You know how I generally feel about that. I'm in a good mood because I thought I played pretty well today. But Ray's a 3 out of 5. The Grapplers are 2 out of 5. I mean, this was – I love the Grappler, and I talked to him multiple times today.
Yeah.
We love all of our friends on this show. We love them. But Jack, Ray, Pierre, you know, it was just one of those shows where everything worked out and everything was fine. But the Grappler, he's got more in him, and I expect more
he's
into
usually
the future.
Engaged,
Mullen, a 5 out of 5. The audio,
good
I think,
point,
was outstanding, and it was prepared. Jerry's, right? We did Jerry's, which
sharp.
Is tough, and you got to be prepared there, and he was on the gun. And Megan, 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5. We mentioned the Bryson DeChambeau video. She didn't know that was coming. Immediately it was up on the screen. We mentioned the Lewenberg tweet about who's playing tonight and who isn't playing tonight. Immediately up on the screen. I didn't tip her off for that. She was on her toes and ready to go. So Megan, a 5 out of 5, and Al's brother a 0 out of 5 because he didn't even drive in. He's still in Niagara Falls. I mean, if you're not in the 416 area code, you're a 0 out of 5.
Yeah, he didn't show up.
It's that easy. Okay, Leafs in action tonight. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Raptors in action. You can watch it on TSN. It's going to be a fun night. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow at...
Hayes, you're a 0 out of 5 in looks. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.